Hey guys, Bryce here from Flex Cortex. All content on the Flex Cortex podcast is for educational and entertainment purposes. It is not a substitution for medical advice from a qualified health professional. Thank you and enjoy the podcast. Everybody, welcome to this week's episode of Flex Cortex. Today I'm speaking with Meredith Bauman. She is an educator with Dr. Mark Methods. So that's actually how we know each other. She also is a massage therapist, though, so as well as a nutrition coach. And she also has a big focus on mindset, which is why we're talking today. So we're going to talk about the idea of creating new beliefs, not having your old beliefs serve you anymore, and then trying to form an unbreakable mindset that can serve you just through your entire life. So I'm very excited for this because I myself love mindset stuff, and I have grown a big interest in it the past couple of months. But to kick it off, thank you so much for coming on today. I appreciate you making the time, especially because we had to reschedule because Saskatchewan got slaughtered with snow.
Yeah.
But first, let's introduce yourself. Give the listeners some context as to who you are, your education, and what brought you here today.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to have this conversation. So as you mentioned, we know each other through the Dr. Mark Method. So I have been a mentor and instructor in the Dr. Mark Method for the past 5.5 years now, pretty much since I took the course the very first time it was offered in 2019. And then I stayed on afterwards under Mark's direct mentorship and guidance from that point, helping assist. And then as the course grew and we got busier and more students coming in and we were growing that, he needed more help. And I have just done the material so many times and have just immersed myself in that world. And I really know how much that course helped me as a nutrition coach, especially when COVID hit and I wasn't allowed to massage at that time. I was legally not allowed to go to my office. And so I was already doing some online coaching at that point. I had been doing nutrition coaching for about 5 years previous. So I've been in the industry for about a decade now, but things really shifted in 2020 when I had to go solely online. And I already had Mark in my corner and had this process in place. And then I had more time to be able to dig into that part of things. And I absolutely love coaching and mentoring in the course. And part of that is also sharing my perspective, which is more mindset based, especially in the last couple of years. Mm-hmm. I took the certified health mindset coaching course through Dr. Casey Joe 2 years ago. And I was taking it for my clients, but also I didn't realize the personal impact it would have on me taking that course and adding mindset to my education. It has just been a game changer for me. And I think I can serve my clients better and my students better because I have that little piece. And I just continue to really dig into mindset stuff on a daily basis. It's something that is a focus of mine for sure. I also am a certified personal trainer. I have my level one CrossFit coaching certification. As you mentioned, been an registered massage therapist for 18 years. I have lots of other certs too. It's one of those things where continuing education is a really big part of my life. And I very much immerse myself in health, fitness, nutrition, mindset, all those things. And all of that education and experience I have over the years has, I think, contributed to me being able to show up as a better coach too, because I have lots of different areas that I've spent time in and had coaches in and, and just, been able to bring that to the forefront for my clients and serve them the best that I can. I primarily work with nutrition clients myself. I teach in the course, and then I also have my own one-on-one clients that I work with. And typically they're wanting to achieve fat loss. They want to feel better in their body, have better confidence, feel good in their clothes. And I work a lot with busy women who are stuck in the perfectionist mindset a lot of times where they don't take action on things because life is busy and I need to wait until I can really put 110% effort into this. And instead it's, let's take messy action and let's do this imperfectly and let's do the best that we can with what we have. And doing just a little bit better consistently over time is how people get results. And we don't always think that way. We think it has to be this, I'm ready to go, throw me in and I will just cut all these things out and go hard, and that it does not serve us well because people can't sustain that. So I'm really helping these women to see a different perspective, change their way of thinking around fat loss and how they maintain a healthy lifestyle. And a lot of that is through more like sustainable habits and just again, meeting them where they're at and helping them to see that they can be a little bit more relaxed around the process and that that's actually so much more enjoyable and they get better results and those results stick a lot longer because of that.
Yeah, I feel like there's a lot to unpack within what you said there, but I feel like the first thing I want to touch upon is that people generally jump into this expecting that you have to cut out everything, right? And I just spoke about that with the last podcast that I did too, where like people start with this, they think that they have to cut this out, this out, this out, this out, and then also work out 5 times a week. So for them, it's like quite eye-opening when you can realize that you don't actually have to do things that extreme. Like you can actually just start off very gradually. Find things that work for your schedule and like create some momentum. Like you want to build off of that to get into a good headspace, get into a good groove too, where you're building confidence up. Things are feeling good. You're starting to enjoy it too. Because I feel like for a lot of people, it's quite intimidating, right? And it's quite life consuming. Like you're changing how you eat, you're changing your sleep schedule likely because you're going to the gym in the morning or after work. And you're changing, you know, your meal prepping. You're also going to the gym where you're probably not super comfortable yet. So it's a matter of like making it work for yourself. So I think the approach that you're taking is wonderful. And I'd say for me too, with my clients, it's the same thing. Like when they first come to me, they would like, I'd like to be in the gym 6 times a week or 5 times a week. But I tell them, okay, well, like, what is your work schedule like? Let's figure out a way that you can actually like sustain this long term. And when you get to the point where you're like really enjoying those days of the gym, then let's like add a day. Like let's add layers to it at that point in time. Let's not give you 5 days a week. And then at that point, if you're hitting regularly 3, it's going to bomb their confidence too. But I had a question for you. So since you've been a massage therapist for the past like 18 years, when did you find that you wanted to switch to coaching and why?
Yeah, that's a great question. So I love being a massage therapist. I absolutely love it. And I had to take a step back, first of all, in 2020. So when COVID hit, and like I said, I wasn't legally allowed to massage. And I was like, what am I
Right.
going to do? Okay, well, I'm already doing some coaching, but I could only take on a certain amount of clients because I just didn't have the time as full-time massage. So then had to take a step back, went more into coaching online and teaching with Dr. Mark. And then when I was able to go back to work, I jumped back into it, was doing full time, but then my body started to tell me like, hey, you've been doing this for a long time, full time, and it's not easy. Like if you find a massage therapist who's been in the field for 15 or 20 years, like they're a senior in the field for sure, because it's not easy on your body at all. So my thumb actually started giving me issues on my right hand, and I started to get a repetitive strain injury, and I got trigger thumb on my right side. And so I just was like at work in pain all the time. And I'm like, I can't be doing this. I have to figure out something else. So it was really like I cut back entirely, as in like I took a break from massage for a while. I wasn't doing any at all just to let myself heal and recover, put more into online coaching then at that point, and then just ease myself back into it. And I've found a balance now. I have a very close like clientele list of just like family and friends pretty much. And I do it on my own schedule. I do a few treatments here and there, and then most of, the rest of the time I'm doing online stuff. So I physically had to take a step back, but I also had to find some balance because I love mentoring and coaching. I love working with my nutrition clients. I like doing all of it. So it's nice that I get to have a little bit of everything that makes up my day and my week. And sometimes a little more and a little less, depending on what I have going on.
Yeah, it's nice to keep your toes dipped in everything since you like it all. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
So when did you show an interest in the mindset stuff? Was that around the same time that you started off the coaching from when COVID kind of hit, or was that like after that that you wanted to do some more mindset stuff?
Yeah, I think it was after that because I took on a lot of clients like after COVID. I got busier with that and I was doing full-time massage and working with a lot of online clients. And so I think because I got more experience working with more people, I started to see more patterns that were happening and more trends that were going on with what people were having issues with, like why they were having issues adhering to their plan and what was the deep-rooted stuff that was going on that people don't want to go there. Like clients don't want to do that work because like it's hard lots of times for them to have that light shone on like, what do I need to do? What do I need to work on? That's a hard thing, hard pill to swallow sometimes. But also for myself, I was like, geez, do I want to go there as a coach? Like, that's some deep stuff that I'm asking people to do too, is get them to do that work. But I knew that it was going to be something that would be really beneficial. So I started looking at like, what are these courses? Like, what can I take regarding mindset? And that's when I had known another nutrition coach that had taken the health mindset coaching certification. And she had nothing but good things to say about it. And I could see how
Nice.
her online presence was starting to change with how she talked about things and the posts that she put out. And so I started to ask her more questions. And then I started to follow that account and Dr. Casey, who puts that course on. And then I was like, okay, I need to really take a look at this, and checked out a couple of her webinars that she did and got more information. And then there was just something that was like, it was like when I took the Dr. Mark method the first time too. It was something telling me like, I have to take this. Like, this is the time to pull the plug on it and do it. So I was just listening to my own intuition, and I invested in the course. And from like the get-go, I was just like, okay, this is good stuff. Like, these are also things that were affirming to me that I was already a coach that was doing some of that work, but I didn't have the names for it. Like, I didn't know that I was doing mindset work at the time because I didn't have like the scientific terms or like that technology or the technical stuff where I was like, oh, that's what that was, that I would ask those questions or I'd use that tactic or that strategy. But I didn't realize that it was actual science-backed mindset strategy, or it had evidence behind it that that's something that worked. So it was really affirming to me as a coach that I was doing a good job. But I had then more tools in my toolbox, and I was building, more skills as a coach, and I had the proper language then that I could use with my clients, and it just made more sense to me. So I think if anything too, it was a confidence boost for myself taking the course as well. And then just allowed me to be able to just evolve a little bit more from taking it.
So what did the length of the course look like?
It was I think it was over 12 weeks, I think. It was 10 or 12 weeks, actually. I think it was 10 or 12 weeks. But it was over like a fall, like from like September, October until I think I graduated in December 2 years ago. So it's
Nice.
been 2 years now since I did it. And it was like pre-recorded lectures. It's very similar to what Dr. Mark does too, which is like pre-recorded lectures that you watch, and then there's activities that you do. So you have to, answer questions or do these worksheets or that sort of thing. And then there's a live call component as well, which is what we do in our course too. So you would get on the call and have people there in the class that were, big on a big Zoom call together with the Dr. Casey and her assistants, and then you talk about the stuff that you would learn in your lectures and have big group discussions, which is where I think a lot of the value lies too. Which again, Dr. Mark Method, we do that stuff as well. And I think that those community live calls just really are a strong suit to the course itself. And that's what I found with the mindset stuff too, where you could ask questions and get feedback from your peers and your mentors and really dig into some of the scenarios so that you could really understand, what you were learning.
Yeah, I think that stuff's super valuable. And I think most people don't take advantage of that stuff enough, especially when they do a course. They don't try to attend these labs or make some connections and stuff. But I think you can make a lot of lifelong connections just from courses that you do. And there's already common ground, right? You're there for a common reason because you share a passion regarding whatever topic you're actually learning about, or in this case, like you, whatever you guys are teaching. So I feel like that's definitely super valuable. And I've made a lot of good connections through courses that I've done. I would say arguably that's where I've learned the most. I mean, obviously, like I'd say school has helped a ton, but I would say that what I've learned post just choosing the right courses and being involved with the right people is where I've actually probably grown the most as a coach and also personally too. My next question for you would be, so since you do work with a lot of like nutrition clients and you do apply your mindset component to it as well. What are the most common issues you find with most people? Is there like one or two? And then what would you do to go about like addressing that like strategically?
I think probably the two that come up are like common terms that we might even hear, which is all or nothing mindset and a perfectionist mindset, which really go like hand in hand a lot of times. That I think that's like the biggest piece. And then, as you had also previously mentioned, just talking about like beliefs, like limiting beliefs, and somebody's like identity, those are things that also can come up too. But I think that's probably a big part of it is that people just want to like, they want to go all in on something. And if they don't feel like they did it perfectly, then they feel like they failed. And if they feel like they failed, then they want to throw in the towel and they want to give up. Because they sometimes too, expectations come into play so many times as well. The expectations that they have on themselves when they set a goal, well, it should look like this. This is how it should be done. And if it doesn't turn out that way, then they're like, well, see, it doesn't work for me. I'm no good at this. I failed at this. This doesn't work for me. I'm so special that these, science-backed things don't work for me, but that's not true, right? That's the story that they're telling themselves because they are looking at evidence that maybe they've had in the past that I've signed up for this challenge or I worked with this coach or I did this thing and it didn't work out how I thought it should or as quickly as I thought it I should get there. So I didn't get results as fast as I thought I should. So then I failed. Instead of looking at from a mindset perspective, we shine a bright light on all of the wins along the way, all of the small wins that our clients don't recognize are even wins. And that's our job as coaches is to make sure that they see that those smaller things that they might not think are wins are actually moving the needle and pushing them in the right direction. So I know for myself, like I see a lot of times clients being so hard on themselves when they do a weekly check-in. And they're like, well, they're like, I did this and this and this, and these were successes, but this and this and this happened. So like it was a really crappy week. I'm like, hey, but you just recognized that you did all these things differently or better than you did previously, and that you had these process-related wins, that it's not just linked to what the scale is doing or whether you missed a workout or not, that doesn't mean that all the other stuff just poof goes away. So we have to also know that we are still moving in the right direction, and that people just like don't want to think that those small steps are going to actually add up to the big picture because they don't stick with it long enough to see that big picture. Somebody that says, well, I only lost 4 pounds this month. And I'm like, that's amazing. And you did
That's
all
good,
these other
yeah.
things that I highlight. And they're like, well, it's only 4 pounds. But like my friend Kathy lost 10 pounds in a month. Or when I was 25, I lost 12 pounds in a month when I did this challenge. And I'm like, but are you that 25-year-old person anymore? You're not. And also, you're not Kathy. And also, circumstances change and all the things. But if you take a 4-pound fat loss in a month and you think of doing that every month for 6 months, and I'll say to them, imagine that you're down 24 pounds of fat. Like, this is fat loss, not just weight loss, but let's just say, like, you've lost, change your body composition, fat loss has happened, you've maintained or maybe even gained muscle mass, but it's 24 pounds in 6 months that is gone for forever because you did it in a way that was sustainable and enjoyable, and it's not coming back. You're actually making long-term changes. Would you be happy with that? And they're like, well, yeah. Then I'm like, is 4 pounds then not enough? Is 4 pounds not good progress? And they're like, well, when you put it that way. So it, sometimes as coaches, we have to give them that other viewpoint because they don't see it. They're too close to the thing. We have to like take a step back and look at the bigger picture. And as coaches, we can give them that perspective sometimes because they are so, close to looking at the little tiny things like the numbers on the scale, and they don't necessarily see that big picture of things.
So, do you think it's a combination of just people being too outcome focused, but do you think it's also like maybe the expectations that were set going into it as well on their maybe the ones that they put on themselves?
Yeah, like I think expectations are a huge part of it for sure. And then also, yeah, the outcome, people get very caught up on the scale. They either just look at the scale or they don't want to look at the scale because they are, the scale dictates to them how they feel with their progress a lot of times too.
Their worth, yeah.
Like emotionally affect them. They're like, well, I went out to eat and I didn't track my food. And so, then I was up 2 pounds the next day. And like, so there you go. I'm doing all this work and I gained 2 pounds. So then it's like back to the let's educate you on like why the scale fluctuates and why we look at so many other things besides just the scale. So that's part of it too. And then people get very caught up in like the extrinsic motivators, right? They're like, I want to see the scale move and I want to lose weight because I want to fit into this dress. And there's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. But at the same time, we have to, as coaches, again, try to get our clients to go introspective and find those intrinsic motivators that are going to be like, why are you really wanting to make a change? Because if it's always just to look good in a bathing suit on the beach, which, hey, I've done that. That's fine. That's totally cool. But I also know I have the intrinsic motivators that are the driving force of me getting up at 5:15 in the morning to do my workouts before I have to get my kid ready and on the bus for school, because I value fitness and I value moving my body and I value my health. And those are things that are motivators for me, is because I want to live an active life. I want to be the mom that can do all the things. Like, I have dug into my intrinsic reasons that are behind why I do the actions that I do on a daily basis to take care of me. And it's not just because I want to look good in a bathing suit, right? I have to have more to it than just that. It can't be just that, those things. Or, well, I want to see the scale move. I want to be down 10 pounds. Why? And we talk about whys as coaches, but also it's like, how is being down 10 pounds going to change your life? As in, what are the things you have to do to be 10 pounds lighter? Those are the things that are going to change your life. Right? It's the actionable things that you're doing that are making the change. It's not 10 pounds gone changing your life. It's the actions that you do to get there that are going to be the things changing. And we need to get that out of our clients. We need to dig that out of them.
Yeah, no, I love this conversation. I think the first thing to kind of speak on there is like extrinsic things are tied to dopamine, right? So if we look at like, if we're doing something extrinsically, like let's say we're eating a food that we like, we're spending time with somebody that we love, right? We're getting dopamine from this, right? And that makes us feel good temporarily though, but it's very fleeting. It doesn't last super long. And that's kind of like, let's say would like tie into motivation, right? Motivation's so subjective. That's why it's so up and down. It comes in waves. But like you mentioned, like it has to be intrinsic. It has to be tied to serotonin, things that again are going to like actually make you want to sustain these habits long term. And again, actually do these things because they fulfill you. But I think it's, you mentioned it a lot there too. It's getting clarity on this person's why. It's figuring out why they're actually spending the money and the time to work with you and why they actually want to make these changes, how their life will be different with losing that 20 pounds. Because again, like you mentioned, it's not the 20 pounds that really like matters to them. It's the quality of life difference that 20 pounds will bring, or it's how they'll feel mentally with being down 20 pounds. But they'll throw that 20 pounds at you because maybe it's easier than them talking about the subconscious reasons as to why they want to lose 20 pounds, or they don't have clarity themselves as to why they actually want to lose 20 pounds. Maybe they saw a video on it somewhere, or one of their friends lost 20 pounds, and just for sake of like, again, maybe it's exposure related, right? They see people around them doing this and they feel that they need to as well. But there has to be like a deeper reason. And I think I spoke about this on the other podcast I did too. Like, we aren't psychologists, obviously, but or therapists, but I think what we can do is we can still do a lot of reframing. We can help people reframe. We can help people understand thoughts. We can help people like question their own thoughts. But I think like a lot of what we do as coaches is we're creating awareness. We're allowing people to understand, okay, well, like these are repeated habits for this reason, right? But also, these are also repeated thoughts, right? Which are not serving you anymore. Maybe an old version of you, right? But now with this new version of you, this 10.0 version of you, a version of you that wants to be happier and healthier for your family or happier and healthier for yourself, right? You have to have new beliefs that are going to actually like serve you and in turn get you towards that vision, that goal. And like you have to have that too, because there's going to be moments and days where you don't want to get up and work out in the morning, right? But you have to like tie it to your why. And it has to be like intrinsic, because no one else is going to be up around you. Like, no one's going to be up around you to be like, good job, you're killing it, right? I mean, maybe, but like you have to get out of bed and to get ready, to get your clothes ready, to get your food ready, to go to the gym, unless you have a home gym, right? But you do have to still like do the actions, and you have to get out of bed yourself. And I think that for a lot of people is challenging because they tend to rely heavily on external things.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. And it's one of those things where you think of, like, if a doctor tells you, okay, health-wise, you gotta make a change and like you have to lose weight or you have to do whatever. That's, again, that's an external thing. That's not coming from you. Or if somebody wants it for you, oh, I really like wish that my husband or my dad or my mom or my sister would make these changes and like they really should do this. And it's, I've had people want to gift nutrition coaching before where they're like, I'd really like to buy nutrition coaching for my sister or whatever. I'm like, you
They
know what,
won't do
that's,
it.
I love that you want to support her, but also is your sister wanting this? Because if she is not the one that has made that decision that I am ready to do this and I'm like ready to make the change, which we don't have to be 100% ready, but also like, that person has to be on board. They can't, it can't be because somebody else is saying you should do this thing. We have to, in some way, have some awareness around, do I need to change? Do I want to change? What's that going to look like for me? And we don't have to be 100% ready because as coaches, we can help our clients to find that intrinsic motivation by asking the questions, as you said, and get them to dig into that a little bit. But yeah, it's hard if it's just coming from the outside. It's like, trying to get somebody to quit smoking. They're not going to do it unless they have to like make that decision for themselves. We can't decide for them and do the work for them, right? In the end, we have to be adults. As you said, I'm 38 years old. There's nobody checking in on me unless I have a coach. There's nobody checking in to make sure I'm getting up in the morning to do my workout before my kid has to go to school. Like, if eating vegetables, I hear this from clients, so I don't really like vegetables. I'm like, okay, weird, let's talk about this. But at the same time, you're a big
Being an
kid,
adult.
right?
Yeah, being an adult.
Like,
Eat
no,
your
you
vegetables.
can't do chores. Like, I have to do my chores. If I don't go shovel the snow right now, it's gonna sit out there because who else is coming to shovel the snow? You're not. So like I have to do my chores. And that also means like to take care of my house, to take care of me, I have to do the work and I have to figure out, if I'm not doing the work, why am I not doing the work? Because people know what they should be doing. And I say that with quotations because you can't see it, but I say with quotations because people always like should all over themselves. We're like, oh, what they should be doing. But with that, it's like, what you should be doing. And oh my goodness, I just lost my train of thought. But
That's okay.
like I'm literally like blanked out for a second. But yeah, it's like what they should be doing, but it's like, oh, here, that's what I'm gonna say, is like, why are they not doing it? That's where I was getting at, is there's a reason why. And as coaches, if we ask the proper questions of like, they know what they should be doing, but they're not doing the thing. So why are you not? And is there a roadblock? Is there a challenge? Is it a mindset thing? Is it a planning and prepared thing? Is it a limiting belief that you have? As you said, is it because you keep thinking that you're somebody who can't do this? And that's where fixed mindsets come in. As you said, if you're like, I'm not a morning person, if we get into that part, right? That's you putting on you this fixed mindset that you're not a morning person. So you put yourself in this box that it's impossible for you to get up in the morning early and do a workout. I was never a 5 a.m. morning person. I was somebody who said, who are these crazy people getting up at 5 a.m. to work out? That is not
Yeah,
me.
literally me for a long time.
Right? But then I had to change because it was either get up in the morning and do it before the rest of the day happened, or it wasn't going to get done. And I was like, oh, I'll do it after my kid gets on the bus. Oh, I'll do it, like after supper. It wasn't happening. So I had to change something. Because nothing's going to change if we don't change anything. So then I was like, you know what? I think I need to tell myself a different story. I have to change my own narrative. I have to start telling myself that maybe I'm not a morning person now, but could I become a morning person? Yes, I can. And what do I need to become a morning person? You know what I need to do? I need to change my nighttime routine because I'm not getting up in the morning at 5 a.m. to work out because I'm staying up too late. I'm too tired in the morning. I can't get my ass out of bed. I need to change that routine so that I, need to maybe recruit my husband to help me with evening things so that I can go to bed earlier. Maybe I need to get my kid to bed earlier so that I can go to bed earlier. Maybe I need to thing prepped in advance the night before so that there's less friction in the morning to get my butt out of bed because my shoes are set out, my clothes are ready, my pre-workout's in the fridge. And then I've taken the resistance away and the friction away from being able to do the action. So if we're not doing the thing, why are we not? And what can I do differently to make it easier on myself to then take action on that stuff?
Yeah, it's truly crazy how we can identify ourselves based off of a prior experience, and then we believe that identity, that like thought, right? So for me too, I was also that person that'd be like, people that get up at 4 in the morning to work out, what are they, nuts? And then that was me for a long time. Like I was like, I am not a morning person. I am not a morning person. But then I got to a point where I was like, hey, well, I can't work out in the evenings because I have too much stuff going on and I work pretty late. And I have other stuff I need to do. But then also, I'd find that it would affect my sleep because I'd be taking likely some sort of stim. And then it would affect my sleep. And then all of a sudden, it's a vicious cycle where I can't get out of bed in the morning because I'm not actually falling asleep till like 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock. So I had to figure out, okay, well, I want to train. I need to figure out when I can do it. And also, there's many benefits to training in the morning, right? Like the whole world isn't likely awake yet, or they are waking up, right? And you can focus on yourself for that hour and a half, and you're taking care of yourself first thing, which is perfect, right? You're not going through your day thinking, okay, I still have to work out after work, but like I have to make dinner for my kids, like, or whatever for you, right? Or what if something else comes up? I have to drive them to some sort of sporting event or something, right? Or what if something else comes up and I have to help them with homework? And then all of a sudden it's a whole thing, and you're like, well, I didn't work out today. That's okay, right? But I think it's like it's so much easier to, not easier, but it becomes easier to do it in the morning if you have yourself set up for success by planning too. So I also want to talk about that because for me, part of it would be that I'd wake up and then I'd be in a bit of a panic slash struggle to try to get ready to go. But I'm the person now where like I'll prep my breakfast the night before and I will also get my gym bag ready. I'll get my shakers even ready. It'll be like, hey, I'll have like my pre-workout in this one. In this thing, I'll have my other bottle ready to go. I'll have my jacket ready, my clothes already put out too. So that way there's like no reason to not go. If I like don't go still, I'm like, I set myself up to go and I still chose to not go. And like you're gonna have days obviously where you're gonna listen to yourself, and like there might be the odd morning where you just need to take a rest, and that's okay. But it makes you question it for sure, which I think is a good thing, right? It makes you think, okay, am I skipping because I'm just being lazy? Or am I skipping because I actually feel like I need maybe the mental break? But it does definitely help to just, yeah, set aside some time to do that. But also, like I'd say the same thing ties into meal prepping, right? It's like, well, would you rather set some time aside to meal prep and have food planned for the week or at least for part of the week, or be scrambling, for lunches or for dinners because you don't have food ready?
And like I want to say too, like if someone's listening to this and they're like, well, I really don't like working out in the morning, I prefer an evening workout, great. Like we're not saying you have to work out in the morning. We're saying figure out what works for you. And also, if you're not doing any workouts, then and you want to start being more active and fitting those in, you have to take a look at, what is my schedule like? What is my life like? Where is this going to where am I going to be the most successful with my workouts? Like, what makes the most sense for me and my schedule and my life and what other responsibilities I have going on? And then take the next necessary steps to figure it out. If that means, you know what I need to do? I need to have my workout bag and shoes and everything in my vehicle so that as soon as I'm done work at 5 o'clock, I go straight to the gym again, if that's possible for you. And I do it then because I know if I go home, then I'm gonna like get lazy and I'm gonna just make supper and then I'm gonna wanna lay on the couch and I'm not gonna go back to the gym. So if you can recognize that in yourself, then, I'm gonna be most successful if I get it done at this time. That's kind of what we're saying, right? It's like you don't have to be a morning person, but also it's that mindset of putting yourself in the box of, I'm not somebody who does this thing, because that is being very fixed instead of, I might be that way now, but I could do this differently. And it'll easier with time. It'll get easier the more reps I put in. It'll get easier with more planning, that sort of thing. And I know I've had clients before that are like, this is a lot of work to like plan my workouts and plan my food and do the things. And I'm like, yeah, like I wouldn't have a job as a nutrition coach if everybody just did all the stuff and didn't need to be accountable to anybody. But it's as a coach, we also help with the planning stuff and we help them to how they can make those changes to be able to check the boxes off in a day or as many boxes as they can of like getting my steps, my workouts, my nutrition. And yeah, it's do I always want to do it? No, absolutely not. I don't want to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning all the time and work out. I don't want to, but I also know how good I feel after I do it. And a lot of times it's that I have everything ready. Sometimes I just have to tell myself, like in the morning, that alarm goes off, and I'm like, just put your feet on the floor and go to the spare room and turn the light on. So I'm like, what's the next thing I have to do in the step-by-step process in the morning to get this done? Because that's the hardest part is the starting. Like getting yourself to the gym, that's the hardest part. Maybe that's a just go put your shoes on and head out to your vehicle. Just start the engine, just drive, and like just do start your warm up. Just telling yourself the next step can sometimes feel less daunting than, oh, I gotta get up, I gotta drive to the gym, and I gotta like do my warm up, and then I'm gonna have to be there for an hour, and then I gotta, and you start to like talk yourself out of it because of how hard it feels instead of saying, okay, what's the next easy thing I can do? I can put my feet on the floor and I can put on my workout clothes. Okay, I can grab my pre-workout, I can do like, breaking it down into the smaller steps sometimes is like mentally what I have to do. And it feels easier that way to just be like, this is all I have to do. And then, like, now what do I need to do? And then I just go from there. And then it can snowball. And once I start, do I regret doing my workout in the morning? No, never. I don't. If anything, I'm like, oh, good for me for like pushing through that like hard like spot. Because sometimes it's like, we got to just get through that tough spot and then the rest of it gets a lot easier. It's like getting to the top of that roller coaster and then just like riding it down. Very similar to when people ride cravings, and this is a going on another point, but when people have cravings for food and stuff, it's like we also lots of times have to recognize that cravings come in waves. So somebody can like hang on and have a pivot of like something else that they do when they get this craving. Is that, am I hungry? Am I like actually hungry? Am I having a craving? Is this a habit? Is it because of the environment? Am I being triggered by a person? Whatever it is. But if you can re talk yourself through that, those little points, and recognize, okay, this is really is just a craving because the leftover Halloween candy is right in my face, whatever it is, I'm gonna pivot and I'm gonna go, you know, for a walk, or I'm gonna go listen to a podcast, or I'm gonna go do the dishes, whatever. And then all of a sudden the craving goes away. Next thing you're like, oh, I'm not even thinking about it anymore. 'Cause you like wrote it out a little bit. So those are like those other mindset things too, of just like helping our clients through those little sticky spots. And once they figure out how to get through those tougher areas, then it gets a little bit easier.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. And I actually just made a post about that. I did a
Oh, did you?
podcast recently, and I talked about that's what I do actually. No, and I didn't know that that was a strategic process, but I actually will do that. If I think about like a if I'm craving something, and I actually mentioned this in like a podcast I just did, if I'm craving pizza, I'll think about, okay, well, when was the last time I ate? And if I'm like, oh man, it was like 10 in the morning. Let's say I had an insane day where it's like clients, meetings, whatever. Then I'm like, oh, I'm just hungry. But then if I'm like, oh no, I ate recently, then they'll be like, the next step will be, okay, well, what do I have going on in my life right now? Okay, within that, how many things are within my control? Okay, within that, how many things are out of my control? How are these things collectively making me feel? Am I leaning towards food because I want control? And then by that point, I'm like, you know what? I don't even want the pizza anymore. Because I've been able to like isolate the fact that I'm craving this pizza for this reason of it being like an outlet. I'm looking for dopamine, I'm looking for control. So I'm looking at this piece of pizza as that, or this pizza, not a piece of pizza, let's be honest. This pizza as a piece of control, right? I'm looking at that because I want to control a component to my life where I feel like I don't have control. So, and it gives it less power, right? You're all of a sudden you're able to think about it from like you're able to scope out and look at it and be like, okay, well, I actually don't want this anymore because I know how this will make me feel. I know how it'll impact my sleep, potentially how it'll make me feel in the morning, which will make me impact my workout too, which will like again throw off the beginning of my day. And then it's a whole thing, right? So I think just running through that process has really helped me a ton because I myself have dealt with emotional eating tendencies in the past, and I wasn't fully aware of it until lately, when I realized that it is me searching for an outlet, but it was because I had some emotional issues that I hadn't fully addressed that I was leaning towards food for emotional comfort and support.
Yeah, and that's a huge piece. Like when I work with my clients too, the emotional eating, the stress eating, and it's something that people do get stuck in a habit and in a cycle of it. That is their go-to because they do get that like good hit of, as you said, that like dopamine hit of like the feel goods from it. But then you come off of that and you don't feel so good after, maybe physically, maybe mentally, that sort of thing. And it does put us back into the what the hell effect cycle, which is like a real thing, right? Where people are, they're like, okay, I'm gonna stick to my plan. And I'm like, I'm on track, I'm on the wagon. And then all of a sudden they're like white knuckling their way through, and then something happens, an emotional thing, a stressful thing. They go towards food. They feel like I messed up. Oh man, I screwed up. I failed. I fell off track. And so then what the hell? Might as well just eat whatever now. And then, oh, I don't feel good. Why did I do that? There's guilt, there's shame. So then they say, okay, I'm gonna be good again. I'm gonna be good. They use that kind of language too. And then I'm gonna be good. I'm gonna be on track, on plan. And they restrict a little bit more again because they're trying to be good. And then they can only hold on to that for so long. So then they mess up again. Oh, I messed up. I failed. I might as well just like, and then they're caught in this cycle of restrict, binge, overeat, whatever it is, restrict. And then it's just going around and around. And that's so common for people to get caught in that. And that's again where that perfectionist thinking comes in too, where we think, I'm on plan, I'm on track. And if I make a mistake, if I mess up, then I failed. Instead of saying, huh, I messed that up a bit. I didn't stay on my plan. Why didn't I do that? So, what did I do well? What didn't quite go so well? Why didn't it go well? What can I learn from this? And what can I do differently now moving forward? So, it's a failing forward instead of a I messed up, I might as well throw in the towel. It's just giving yourself a clean slate and a fresh start as many times as you need, but learning from those opportunities so that you go into the next time a very similar scenario with more information and knowledge than you and experience than you had before. So you can go into it smarter. And you might not do it perfectly again because there's no such thing as being perfect with it. We're just going to try our best and we're going to try again. And the trying of the again over and over is what gets people results and again pushes them forward instead of the throwing up the hands and just being like, well, I'm no good at this, right? Again, that fixed mindset that comes into play.
No, this feels like you're speaking about me to me, which is crazy. So that's how I know this is a good podcast. And for me, like before I never really realized it's all attached to self-worth. And it's all attached to the inner child, what has been healed, what hasn't been healed. And for me, I didn't realize that for a long time, but I've realized that, these perfection tendencies or these even like comparison or envy, right? We're looking at other people around us too, and we're thinking that they have traits that we wish we had in ourselves, or they have traits or they speak to themselves a certain way that we wish we could speak to ourselves. And I think that's what drives this perfectionism, right? This idealistic thought process of us being like, okay, well, I wish I could do be like this, or I wish I could be like this, but I can't. Or it's like that whole thing you mentioned about shame around food, right? Like that was me for a long time. Like I would eat a meal, I'd be like, oh man, I was so bad today, or like this is awful, I shouldn't have done this. And then that just like feeds into the shame. And then all of a sudden that shame turns into like self-doubt, right? And that kind of goes like that whole belief cycle where it's like that belief, that thought, that emotion, that motion to that action, the result, and then ties into the belief again. And then now I've learned that recently where it's like that's where it starts, right? Is that initial like belief of, oh, I am a failure. I'm a failure. I shouldn't have eaten this. But then that goes into a thought of like, oh yeah, I'm such a failure. I can't believe I let myself eat this much, right? And then it goes into like feelings of lethargy. Maybe you're feeling sad, depressed, you're feeling anxious too. And then maybe that turns into actions where maybe you tell somebody off just because you're angry or frustrated, right? Like maybe it's a loved one and you yell at them because you're angry. And then all of a sudden that like then the results, right? It's like, oh, I am awful because I just yelled at somebody that I love. And then that reinforces the belief initially. And for me, learning about all that stuff recently, I was like, that was me for so long. Like I would be in this vicious eating cycle, right? Of like, I would eat, I'd feel horrendous, and then I'd eat again because I felt horrendous. But it's a matter of just realizing, okay, well, why am I craving this food? And it's just like, it starts as something small. It's like identifying that original thought and being like, why am I feeling like this right now? And being
Yeah,
able
and
to dig into that.
Yeah, it's also too, like you're talking about, we're talking about language, right? Good and bad. You're talking about, oh, like I was bad and I ate this food. And that comes down to people labeling food as good and bad and putting food on a pedestal of like, I can't eat this. I can only eat these things if I'm going to be good, if I'm going to be on plan. I got to cut out all of this stuff. I can't have sugar. I can't have this. I can't have that. And then they're like, I should only be eating these foods. And so they think that it's like good foods or bad foods when really food is just food. Right? It's just different from each other. It has different, we talked about this actually in our class last night in the Dr. Mark method. We were talking about how, there's a time and a place for foods. So we're talking about things like fruits and veggies and what was my take on fruit juices? And I was like, well, somebody is in a fat loss phase. It might not be the best way for them to spend their calories is on fruit juice because it's not going to fill them up as much. It doesn't have the fiber. It doesn't have the, the volume, that sort of thing. I said, but somebody who is, if I got a CrossFit athlete who's in a competition and they have 5 WODs in a day and they need to have quick digesting carbohydrates in between their workouts that they're doing or their competition that they're doing, I might tell them to pack juice boxes and that they're going to have juice because that's going to be some easy fuel for them in that moment, in that context of what that particular goal is. So it's not like you look at juice and be like, oh, juice is not healthy. It's bad for you. But it also serves a purpose for somebody else in a different context. So can't label it. It's just different. And we think of things on a sliding scale of like, what are my goals and what are the better choices for myself? Regarding my goals, not like that's a good choice or a bad choice. And I correct my clients all the time in check-ins when they use the language because I'm like, if you continue to talk about food as being good or bad, you attach being good or bad to the food that you eat. So then you be like, I was bad because I ate pizza. When really, is pizza bad? Bryce, if you go to a birthday party, it's your birthday. And it's your party, and you chose to like, I want to have pizza at my birthday, and you eat pizza. Are you bad for eating pizza at your birthday party or somebody else's? Because you chose it, because you're in that moment, that's part of the celebration. And in that, like, that was appropriate for the time and place and what the goal is. You're not bad for eating pizza at that moment, right? You're never bad for eating pizza, but also, when does pizza fit into your plan for you? When do you feel good about eating it? What does that look like? And then we have to just like make choices according to that. But getting rid of the labeling is also so helpful for people's mindset. It's so freeing for them to think, oh, you mean I could have pizza with my family on a Friday night pizza night? And I'm like, yeah, of course. But let's talk about what does the earlier part of your day look like? If you know you're going to have pizza Friday night, that's great. But let's then talk about what choices are going to be made in the earlier part of the day. Let's plan for it. Let's make it part of the plan. You're the boss. You get to decide. You get to pivot your plan however you need to make it work for you so that mentally you also feel good about that. Hey, I'm going to prioritize lean protein and fruits and vegetables and watch how many dietary fats I get in the earlier part of my day. Going to get really well hydrated and then Friday, I'm not going to go crazy on the pizza, but I'm going to allow myself to have 3 pieces. I'm going to have some veggies with it. Maybe I have a protein shake too, because I know I don't get enough protein with pizza. No guilt. It's part of my plan. I feel really good about it. Great. Now, at that point, are you looking at pizza being a bad thing? Absolutely not. That was part of your plan. It can be included. So all of a sudden, people get these mindset shifts around what food looks like and how it fits into their life in ways that's just a black and white way of thinking around it.
And I think it ties into what you said earlier too, about having a fixed mindset versus an open mindset, right? I think it's realizing too, to further heal your relationship with food, you have to heal the relationship you have with yourself. And I think that's where it all begins. It's like, okay, well, if you do see foods as good or bad, why is this the case? But also, I think it's the language we're using, like you mentioned around it too. Like, there is no really bad food per se. We'll air quote that. Like, it's just a matter of the frequency and the amount that we're consuming this food. It's like, how often are we having this food? At what amount? A pizza a day. Okay, well, that is probably not good. That's probably quote unquote bad for you because you're eating your entire daily intake of pizza. But if you're having, like you mentioned before, like let's say it's a Friday night and you're having pizza night with your kids, or let's say it's a birthday party, you can figure it out where maybe you macro fast, or you figure out a way where you're like, okay, well, I'm having my protein earlier on in the day. I'm having, like you said before, like maybe you're having protein shakes too, right? Having something a little bit like lighter liquid wise, but also lighter calorie wise. So that gives you more room to have pizza later, and you could have it guilt free because you're not worrying about, okay, is this pushing me over? But even if it is pushing you over, it's a day.
Exactly.
I think it's a matter of understanding that like we're not perfect, and we can't be living in this perfect scenario all the time. And like, as long as we're on track and we understand that too, and we have awareness around the fact that we were maybe over a little bit as well, that ties into the following day weigh-in maybe, or that ties into performance the next day, or just how we feel in general too. But I think a lot of the issues when it comes to mentally, physically, emotionally, it comes to how we feel after we eat the food. It's not maybe so much the food that we eat, it's how we feel eating the food and how we feel after eating the food. Because that the stress that we carry will impact so many things, like hormonally, digestion-wise, and everything. It's just like how we feel after consuming it. I found one thing that really helped me too is if I do have a meal where, let's say I do overindulge, right? Let's say I eat more than I should, let's say I eat more than I planned. Not well, I won't say should, but let's say planned. Then what I'll do is I'll write it down actually. So I'll do like maybe I'll do some gratitude stuff and I'll think through it and I'll be like, it's okay that I ate that. And I'll be like, it doesn't change who I am as a person because I ate that. It's okay that I ate that and I will be fine.
Yeah. And even like going into it of like giving yourself permission
Yeah.
to eat those foods. Because a lot of times people like, they again, they put those things off limits and they're like, I can't have that. And I'm like, okay, again, language of like, this is how we change our mindsets. It's also changing our language. So instead of saying things like, well, I'm trying to be healthy, I'm trying to lose weight, I can't have that. You can change it and say, I'm choosing not to have that right now. Like when the choice is powerful, that's where it's like, I'm giving myself permission to either say yes or no to this. And
Yeah,
that to
that's
me,
powerful.
I can start to feel that empowerment because it's not like, oh, I can't have that because again, they've deemed it as being unhealthy or off limits or bad for them. But instead of saying in that moment, it's like, you know what? I don't think I really actually want to have the pizza, or I'll have one slice. I'm not going to have five. Like, I'm just going to choose to like participate and have one slice. But like, I really physically don't feel great. Like, this is me with Chinese food. I don't feel great when I eat it. I also had a bad experience when I was pregnant with my daughter. So I was like, I just don't, it doesn't make me physically feel good either. And so I like lots of times I was like, you guys, great. You have that. That's awesome. I'm just going to choose not to, or I'll choose just to have whatever small amount of something, because I just can recognize how my body feels. But the choice is mine to have it or not. And also to not let somebody else dictate to me if I'm going to eat something because they're trying to shame and guilt me into eating when maybe I've made a choice. It can be really hard for clients to also be like, you know, I had a plan and I was making a choice. And then somebody was like, you know, well, are you too good for us to like not eat the pizza with
Oh
us?
man.
Like
Yeah,
those
yeah.
things that come up too, which is a whole other thing, because that's also very hard. But it's the I'm choosing not to have it right now for myself. It doesn't affect anybody else. So we have to like remain in our power with that. And then just like also, you can also say, I choose to have it. And that's also okay because I'm giving myself permission to eat that food. And that's totally fine, as you said. Like, it's totally okay if I eat that.
Yeah, that's me with alcohol, actually. Like, I obviously would drink alcohol before, but now I just don't drink. So people think people now know me as like I just never drinks. I will bring like a chocolate milk to a party, which is funny because I'm just like, I am gonna have something that I enjoy while you guys have something that you enjoy, but I am not gonna have a hangover tomorrow.
Yep.
And I used to, again, like you mentioned there, with societal pressure or social pressure, I used to definitely feel that more. And I think that's more like probably your ego, right? Again, getting affected by this, the social pressure of like, oh, are you too good for us? Like, are you so focused on your fitness that you can't have a drink, like, but again, what I've gotten to the level of, or what I've gotten to understand is like, it's my decision. And it doesn't matter what somebody else thinks because it's my decision, it's my life, right? And that takes time and I think experience and maturity to understand that too, that you don't have to please people. And for people that are like, again, are close to you, closely knit, let's say like fat family or friends, they will understand, right? And end of the day, it's like you have to be true to yourself. And if that allows you to stay true to yourself, whether it's alcohol, whether it's food, right? You do have to understand that you're doing it for you. You're not doing it for trying to please them. But you also have to make sure that you're doing decisions to also not appease them too. Like in sense of maybe you're like not eating a certain food or you are eating a certain food. Cause I used to eat food like sometimes like in private, right? There was a lot of shame around it. So I used to find that I'd get affected emotionally by what people would say about me having certain foods, right? So what it turned into is like sneaking food in, right? Or what it would do is be I would sneak food bags out because I'd be like, well, I don't want people to know that I ate this food, right? But it's a matter of also like I think it's important to tell those people too. Like it's important to tell them like, hey, like I don't like when you comment on the fact that I'm having this kind of food because it almost makes me feel like I can't have it when like I totally can. And you could also even be like to add to one layer to it, how would you feel if I commented on the food that you were having at the same frequency, right? Then it kind of provides them with perspective too. Then they understand, okay, well, I probably wouldn't feel good, so I understand how this makes you feel.
Yeah, I have something that I talk to my clients about regarding this situation, and it's something I talk to our students in the Dr. Mark Method about too, which is having hard conversations with our family and our friends and our loved ones with these perspectives. So if you have a goal, and maybe that is like not eating certain foods when you like you're just maybe not eating certain foods, or you have a fat loss goal and you're, tracking your food and you've got a plan in place and you're feeling really good about following it, and then you go somewhere to a social event and you're feeling pressured about things in advance. I would say like even things like there's American Thanksgiving is coming up here for people this week too. And so we've had conversations with my clients in the States around how they can have conversations with their loved ones because it's really triggering for them. Sometimes they're like, Jesus is really hard. I'm going home to my mom's and all my siblings are going to be there. And I know how it is. They are always just like, they say certain things, they don't understand. And I'm like, have you had the conversation to help them to understand? And it's not easy. I get that. So if someone's like, oh, I can't have that conversation again. If you're saying I can't do something, you have to like check your fixed mindset. But with that, it's telling your loved ones and family, friends, here's what my goals are. This is why my goals are important to me. So I'm doing this because I want to feel better in my body. I want more confidence. I want to be able to run and jump with my kids. I want to be here on earth for however long, like whatever it is, whatever your things, reasons are for your goals. And then you say to them, here's how you can support me. And maybe that's, I don't love when you comment on the food I'm eating. I feel like you're always watching my plate. You pressuring me to eat certain foods when I've said I don't want to have them. Or maybe it's like asking me how I want something cooked, or letting me bring something to the potluck that I know is going to be a little more macro friendly for myself, so I have something to eat when I'm there. Like whatever it is, it's like, here's how you can support me. And the big thing here is then asking the question, do I have your support? Because most of the time, those family and friends at that point, when they've heard your side of the story, if they really truly love and care about you, are not going to say, no, absolutely not. Don't have my support. If anything, they're going to be like, wow, I didn't realize, maybe it's, I didn't realize you felt that way. I didn't know that what I was saying was having such an impact. Like there can just be open doors to conversation at that point around you've just laid your truth out there, you've laid it out on the table, and from there's no questioning what they're thinking. Because I also know I've had my own experience in the past where when I first started on my weight loss journey, if we want to call it that, and my family also, I was just like, I was always the bigger girl. I was always heavier. And it's almost like I identified as that person. And so it's hard then to change and look at yourself differently. And it's also hard for your family and friends to look at you differently because they are worried at times that you're going to change in a way that's maybe negative. They're going to worry that you are not going to be the same person that they know. They're concerned about your health. So they want to make sure that you're doing things in a way that is healthy because maybe they've even seen you do things in the past that around food or fitness that weren't healthy for you, as in over-exercising or, having these emotional stress eating tendencies with binging, whatever it is, there might be just, it might be laced with concern too at that point as well. And so there's like identity things with like what how they perceive you and how you perceive yourself, but opening up the conversation to it, I think can be really game changing for a lot of people. And being like okay to go there, because it's not easy to have those conversations, but I think it's really important.
Yeah, I think to talk about this point a little bit more too, I think people just tend to avoid confrontation and they just don't like having those awkward conversations because of the thought of where it could go. When end of the day though, I think this is something that I learned as well too, that in a sense, being selfish is good, right? And I think within being selfish a little bit too, like healthy boundary setting is really essential. And I think within that, it's like, how can somebody know what you need without you telling them? And this ties into friendships, relationships, anything. If you are feeling a certain way about something, but you don't express how it makes you feel, how does somebody know subconsciously that they are triggering you or that they are hitting a pain point for you or something, right? So, because I know for me, like I used to not speak up, right? And then I would get frustrated. But then, the more that I've thought about it, the more that I've gotten older too. How is somebody supposed to be able to read my mind? Like, so you have to, again, just be willing to be like, hey, this is how this makes me feel. These are the reasons why. I hope you understand, right? And you don't have to like ask them if it's okay. You just have to, like, for me, I'll just put it out there. I'll be like, I hope you see where I'm coming from and I hope you understand my point, right? Because again, all they have to do is receive it. They don't have to fully maybe agree with you, but they do have to receive what you're saying and hear it for what it is. But you will feel, and this is for everybody listening, you will feel significantly better because you're taking more control of your life. You're not letting your life control you. You are putting yourself out there. You're standing up for you, for what you believe in, right? And you're moving things in the right direction.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. And you're not asking, as you said, you're not asking your family and friends to change what they're doing. If I'm going to a social thing and I'm making choices for myself, I'll say to my clients, is what you put into your body and what you eat affecting somebody in a negative way? And they're like, well, no. I'm like, if you don't eat the pizza because you chose not to, because you whatever ate before you went, or you packed your own stuff, or whatever it is, does that affect anybody else in a negative way? And they're like, no. I'm like, are you telling them, well, you shouldn't eat pizza either because it's not healthy? No, you're not doing that. So you're not actually affecting them. So when you think about that, you're like, okay, yeah, I am doing for me, and it's not my job to act in a way to appease others and make them feel better. That's not my job. I don't have to take that on. Like, if somebody feels a certain way because of something that I'm doing for me, is they are like, oh, you know what? Maybe I should make those changes, or she's doing that and I'm not. Why can't I do that? It can be a reflection on themselves sometimes. They start to have certain feelings around it, possibly, but that's on them. They get to deal with that stuff. You can't take that on. You have to deal with your stuff. And I always just think, like, it's if I'm not commenting on someone else's food, if I'm not, causing any harm to them, then it's totally fine for me to stick to what I need to do for me. And I've learned that too over the years, just like getting older and being able to, have these different experiences of speaking up too around these different situations. And it does take some practice. And I think that's a mindset thing too, of like, give yourself a lot of grace and a lot of kindness to be able to practice having more conversations and talk about it more. And it might be a little bit messy and it might be uncomfortable, but at the same time, you're going to grow from it. You're going to learn from it. And I think overall, it's just going to, be a positive thing in the end for you and your ability to grow as an individual with your own journey that you're on.
I think it comes from a place of just being more secure within yourself. Like, as soon as you become more secure within yourself and you're not as anxious or avoidant, you tend to want to have these conversations because you have clarity on what you need and you're also your values, I think. So once you have more clarity on that, I think it's easier to express what you need from a people around you or what you would like from people around you because you yourself know what you need and what you want. And I think that comes with a lot of like self-work and self-reflection.
Yeah, totally.
So one question I had for you here was, how would you help a client reframe the narrative they're telling themselves with a limiting belief or many narrative like limiting beliefs? Because I feel like for myself too, that was an issue that I had for a long time, but also for clients now, I feel like that's really challenging. So how would you systematically go through trying to rewrite these beliefs so they could actually serve them and what they're doing now, whether it be fitness, nutrition related, or just lifestyle related too.
Yeah, great question. Do you have an example at all for that? Like, do you personally feel like you have an example of like a limiting belief that maybe you've had in the past?
Oh yeah. Okay, we'll get personal with it. Sure, why not? That's what I'm all, that's what I'm all about. So for me, I had a self-worth issue. So for a long time, it was me thinking I'm not worthy of love and lots of other things, right? And I think that tied into food issues, but it also tied into comparison. It tied into envy. It tied into a lot of things, which I didn't realize. But as soon as I was able to start doing like more journaling, more reflection, and realize that I can rewrite these things that serve me better, it's changed my outlook a lot. So maybe going from I am not worthy to I am worthy, and then giving reasons why, but not just reasons of maybe things that I am and that I do, but reasons to my core that I am worthy.
This is, well, that's a deep one for sure. And I think it definitely like would spiral out into other areas. A lot of times, like when I'm doing, I intersperse my mindset coaching within my nutrition coaching. It's just like part of what I do. And I like to ask a lot of questions to my clients and get them to get introspective of like for themselves too. And a lot of times I like to get them to look at evidence that they have for things and against things too. So it's like, do you have examples of times where you weren't feeling worthy, or that you weren't loved, or you weren't lovable, or whatever that might be? Like, is there evidence to support how you're feeling? That's probably the biggest thing, is getting them to take a look at, because it's coming from somewhere. So there was maybe an instance that started to trigger that for you, to give you those feelings and those thoughts around that. So what is the evidence have that is for that belief that you have? And then on the other hand, what's the evidence you have that that's not true? So you have to do the comparisons for that as well. So even if somebody is like, they have the belief where they're like, well, I don't believe that I can actually do this. Like, maybe that's me, right? They're like, I don't believe that I can actually lose the 20 pounds and change my nutrition and become fitter. Like, I don't actually know if that's possible for me. And I'll say, like, why do you not feel that way? I'm like, have you had a experience in the past where you've tried to lose weight, increase your fitness, get healthier, and you didn't achieve that goal? Like, is there evidence to support that, that you failed at it? Let's use quotations, failed at it. And they'll say, well, yeah, I did this challenge, or I hired a nutrition coach, and I was doing this and this and this, and then I started doing it, and I went, hard at it, and then I quit because it was too hard for me to do, and so then I never achieved my goal. So then we can also dig into that experience a little bit at that point too. Be like, okay, that happened for sure. That's like the truth, but also, why maybe weren't you able to be successful in that moment? What else did you have going on in your life? Like, what were the circumstances that you had? What were your thoughts around, the reason why you quit? Is it because, again, does it come down to perfectionist ways of like, I didn't do that challenge perfectly, and so I quit because I had already messed up? So like, we're digging into like that part of it. And then it's, what evidence do you have to support the fact that you can do this? Like, are you capable of making a change? Are you capable of adding in more steps to your day? Are you capable of prepping food? Have you ever done that before and been successful at it? Well, yeah, there's this one time like 5 years ago when I was like, I was making my meals and I was going to the gym. Okay, well, what did that look like? What were the things that you were doing? What were the actions you were doing?
How'd you feel?
Take a look at the evidence on both sides to support your way of thinking, whether it's for or against it. And then we have that conversation around those experiences and dig into it further that way. Does that make sense?
No, for sure. And I thought I wanted to share my example with it because we do live in a society where it's very easy to compare ourselves to everyone, right? And I think the comparison, though, it stems from a lack of self-belief or worth, but it's just brought to light more by comparing it to people that are around you. So for me, I've had this struggle, and I think I've just come to terms as of late, probably more as of late, as to where it came from and why it was such a thing for me. But Yeah, that's kind of why I wanted to ask, because like this belief shift has been such a huge thing for myself, and I didn't realize the impact it could have on just everything until you start actually doing it and applying these things, and then you realize that you are in control of your mind, not the other way around. Because otherwise, I feel like most people feel like the mind tends to control them, and I was like that for a long time. I thought that I didn't have control of my emotions, my thoughts. I thought that it just ran the show. But as soon as you realize that you're in the driver's seat and you can catch these thoughts or these beliefs and figure out what they mean and change them, you could actually work towards your goals, but also be like happy and at peace.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and even thinking of like, you're thinking, I'm this type of person right now, but I would like to be a different type of a person, right? And but then I don't believe that I could maybe get there. The thing that we or I coach my clients on too is that you don't have to just go from this person to this person. You don't just like do a Super Mario jump over to like the person. You gotta like go along the way. So it's like you take that, like, what would that person, if you can visualize the Bryce that you want to be, the person that feels worthy, feels capable, can achieve all these things, right? You visualize that person. What does that Bryce do on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis? What are his thoughts? What are his actions? What are his habits? And then the amazing thing is you can just start doing some of those things that you can visualize that version of yourself being or doing. You can just start taking small action on some of those things. Doesn't have to be all of them all at the same time, but it could be like, well, that Bryce would get up in the morning and get a workout in before his day gets away from him so that he actually checks off his minimum of 3 workouts in a week that he wants to do. That's the non-negotiable. Okay, great. Awesome. And then what do I need to do to accomplish that goal? And then, like, what's the next thing that that Bryce would do? And it's imperfect and it's messy, but the more you take action on the things that your future self would do, all of a sudden you have become closer to that person or that person who you thought you could never be, but you just took action on maybe one thing and started adding to it. And next thing you know, you're like, hey, I'm someone who gets up in the morning and works out, and I prep my food and I eat more protein and I say no to people when they're trying to push me into having food I don't want to have. Like, I have just practiced being that person and now I have become that person. And that's the journey that people take.
Yeah, no, this is great. I feel like this is a common thing for a lot of people, and I feel like it's way more common than people think it is too. And the mindset component of it could be the biggest thing that tends to accelerate somebody's progress or that hinders the progress that they're seeing. So, and I know for me too, like I've seen how much it's impacted my life, and I was like, well, there must be a carryover. There must be a correlation, right? And there must be some sort of tie-in to it, and my clients must feel the same way, or at least a similar way too. And since I've been trying to implement more of this stuff, right, just create more awareness around how people are feeling and how they are trying to take action and show up for themselves, that's when I've noticed a big change in people's attitudes, how they view themselves, and how they put themselves out there into the world.
Yeah, and it doesn't just happen overnight either, right? Like people changing their ways of thinking and their mindsets and their habits, like again, it's you have to give yourself time to do it and to mess up and learn and grow from it. That is having a growth mindset. And we can have fixed mindsets in some areas and growth mindsets in others. You're not just like, "Oh, I have a fixed mindset." But you can recognize areas where, "Oh, you know what? I didn't realize that I was so caught in this like restricted little bubble of a way of thinking around this one thing, but I could change that over time." And that's what it takes is like our clients usually want results and they want them right now. And I have to be a broken record a lot of times with clients. I have some that I've worked with for, you know, right now I'm thinking of one in particular. I think it's been about 6 months of her working with me. And she just talks about replaying the messages and the things she's learned over the last 6 months over and over again. And she's like, I just keep going back to you saying, like, just reset and practice and learn and do it a little bit better. And she's like, I feel like I'm just doing the same thing. I'm like, but doing the same thing a little bit better is still pushing you, right? So it's, she's moving in the right direction, but I have to remind her to continue to be kind to yourself because sometimes people think, okay, I should get it. I've been working at this for 2 months and my mindset should be changed for forever. Instead of allowing themselves to me, I'm like, it's been 2 decades for me of working on this stuff and not always my mindset, but my nutrition and my fitness. And I'm like, I still have those moments where I'm like, oh, yep, I know now why I do the things that I do. I got reminded again of like, I was not prepared enough with my food. And that is why I ended up overeating in the evening because I didn't have food prepped and I underate during the day. And that like reaffirms to me why I do the things that I do. But I'm constantly relearning those lessons. And it's okay because you are human. And that is just part of it. It's just that those little mess ups or those days that go a little bit off kilter are going to happen fewer and farther in between. And you're going to be able to reset and just get right back into your normal routine so much quicker afterwards because you've put more practice into it. But you have to allow yourself that grace to practice these things and change your mindset because it doesn't just happen overnight either.
Yeah, and I think within having a growth mindset too, you are able to realize that you have to love the old version of yourself to fully step into the new version of yourself now. And that's something that I fought with for a long time, was I was almost trying to like change the old me and change myself now too. But I think within that, you're not giving yourself what you need to properly heal and move forward. Because I changed the approach of, instead of trying to fix old me, it's heal old me. And I feel like within that shift too, I was able to love myself significantly more, but also realize that I would not be where I am today if it weren't for this old version of myself or old versions of myself, right? So I think without that, you wouldn't have had that experience and that time to shape you into the person that you are now. And like just aiming to be like 1% better, I think is like a good standard to go by, right? It's like, can you do something that's going to make you 1% better than you were yesterday? That's going to get you towards where you envision yourself being, and enjoying the process of it, not being too focused on the outcome. Because I've been there, done that, just thought about where I want to be, but I've missed the beautiful journey and the beautiful process of it all. And I didn't smell the flowers much before. I was sprinting and avoiding the flowers, but you got to learn to like soak it all in and enjoy it for what it is too.
Yeah, I love that you said that. You have to heal that old version of yourself and that you can't erase that person because that's the like how you got to where you are right now is because you were at a point and we don't know what we don't know. So you just like learn things and you move forward with it. And I lots of times will reflect on past me who was 60 pounds heavier or the past me who was all or nothing mindset and like rah, rah, rah with fitness and bodybuilding. And I cringe a little bit looking back at some of my
That's
old
okay, though.
Facebook posts and things. But at the same time, I don't regret any of that stuff that
No.
happened because it allowed me to evolve and grow to be the person and the coach that I am. And if I didn't have those experiences and those past versions of me, would I be who I am today? No, I wouldn't be. So I don't want to erase that. I just want to look back and, like, if anything, I'm like, I always think of like, I'm going to take care of the 20-year-old me who felt a little bit lost. And also, when you're 20, are we not all a little bit lost when we're 20? Right. So, like, also that it's like, I'm not alone in that either. You talk to most people, and it's like, you're a 20-year-old or 25, whatever it is, however age a person. And like, I think of, 38-year-old me right now, what is the 58-year-old me going to think of 38-year-old me? I'm going to be have that much more experience and wisdom and knowledge and growth that has happened. And I will maybe look back at this time and say, ooh, wish I would have done things differently. But also, no, I don't, because it allowed me to continue to evolve and grow. And all those, yeah, it's just an accumulation, right, of all of those versions of us. And I know people sometimes say, like, I'm working on being the best version of me, which is fine. But my take on this from a mindset perspective is I'm working on being the version of me that I'm the happiest with, that I feel the happiest and the most content and the most at peace with. And the best is, I think, like that is, I don't know what that is, because is the best version of me the fittest version of me? Is it the version of me when I was the lightest version of me? Is it the person that, like what is that? Like what are people comparing that to? Because as you said, I think it's not even the best version. It's just a different version of me. And really, I'm just striving to be the happiest version of me in my body and my mind. And that I think drives me forward of like continuing to grow and make changes because that's who I'm envisioning of who I want to be in the future, right? What actions do I need to take to be the happiest that I need to be in my, for myself?
This was amazing. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you.
So for people that want to follow you on social media, what do you use the most? What stuff do you have in the works? Let's promote you.
Yeah, you can find me most often on Instagram at the Everyday Health Coach. I'm pretty active there on a daily basis. I'm also Meredith Bauman on Facebook, so you can find me there as well. Everything from my Instagram goes to my Facebook too. And yeah, I just coming up, I'm continuing doing mentorship with the Dr. Mark Method. And I think right now, just like continuing to serve my clients as best that I can and my students the best that I can, and always just open to opportunities like this to be able to talk to people like yourself and dig into some of these conversations. So I really enjoyed it. So thank you so much.
Thank you for coming on. It was great.
All right, awesome.